What's up, everybody? We're here live again with another episode of Pop Flash. I'm your host, Semler. Joining me today will be Thorin and Richard Lewis, and we are going to be wrapping up ESL's Pro League. Last time we left off, we talked about A and B groups. We kind of looked into Group C and D. They hadn't kicked off yet. We kind of predicted how that was going to go. So we're going to wrap Group C and D up, and we're going to talk about the playoffs and FaZe's domination. So, gentlemen, how are you guys doing? Thorin, how are you feeling, man? You good?
Yeah, not bad. In general, pretty good. I have to say, even though I'm not like a fan, like I don't really get like true life enjoyment out of people winning in Counter-Strike, it's always fun in terms of my job and satisfying when you see people like great players achieve greatness, get like extra career accomplishments. So as someone, if people don't know, for many, many, many years, I've been on the Carrigan train. It's just cool again to see someone where you worry, have they had their last hurrah? But actually they haven't. Like actually, if anything, everything's on the table for Carrigan now. Who knows, maybe he can even win the bloody major at this point in time. So suddenly all possibilities seem like they can happen.
The timing seems impeccable right now for him to be ramping up. It is amazing. Richard, how are you doing, man? You had a good week?
Yeah, you know, usual, just work. Another glorious week in esports. But yeah, much like Duncan, I thought the Pro League sort of, it was good to see it deliver on a number of kind of compelling storylines. Not just the good, but also kind of the bad, in the sense that, you know, NA is a thing.
That's wild, isn't it?
Which we'll get to. Although Liquid did exceed expectations, so it's not all doomed.
Barely. What I love, by the way, is here's how you know when NA sucks. I've actually figured out a code for it, guys, in history. Here's how you know. Because when they're actually really good, like, for example, when Team Liquid was, like, number one in the world, or Cloud9 years and years and years ago was actually, like, a top five team in the world, you just compare yourself against the other European teams. You become a world team. Anytime you're arguing, like, yeah, but you know what? We're the second best NA team. That means you're all shit. You're just all at the bottom of the barrel, crabs pulling each other down. Like, so spoiler, if you're an EG or Team Liquid and you're like, you know what? We're better than Complexity. Just check yourself for a second, mate. Just wait a second. And go, fuck, wasn't I winning like Grand Slams and shit? What am I even talking about? Why am I saying that to the fans? That, trust me, I'm better than Fang. Like, just, you know, I'd just neck it there, mate. I'd wait till you get back to the top before talking shit. Just a tip, you know.
They did have to quiet down a little bit, didn't they? One thing, actually, before we get into the discussion then,
this is fucked up. Okay. I even admit it's fucked up. It's petty. There's something fundamentally wrong with me that I find this funny. But I have a perverse enjoyment of when people like Elige congratulate Twists, who definitely left his team because he didn't like the way it was set up and didn't think it was legit and definitely wasn't happy to leave the team. But when you just congratulate, like, oh, so happy for you, bro, winning all those tournaments that I'm not winning, watching you winning them, when you've like, no, like, even though I know what the sentiment is, I understand that there is an element of truth to it. It's so fucking transparently fake that I can't help but laugh at it, because it's like that one where, you know, when the best example ever is when Carrigan and Nico awkwardly compliment each other on Twitter. It's like this is so ridiculous. Like, why are y'all just pretending? Like, why are y'all on some Jaden and Will shit, pretending like this is still hanging together by some desperate last threat? Just fucking end it already. Just hate each other already. Just fucking, oh, by the way, it'd even be a banger storyline if you pretend to hate each other. Imagine if Elige and Twists were like going at each other. It'd be fucking sick, wouldn't it? Be like the best drama in years. Instead, I've just got Nico and his fucking choices of haircut to complain about. You've got any fucking real beef for the scene. He doesn't even have that haircut anymore. He's just got normal hair now. He doesn't even fucking give me that anymore.
It's the 5 minutes at the start of class, Semler. He's got to get it out.
I know, I have. On some level, I have. What people don't know is, unironically, the thing that actually makes those green rooms all go in CSGO is I always come in the morning and it's like, right, I've got to sort of work myself up. It's like the beginning of fucking Raging Bull. I've got to work myself up to the sort of mood I need to be in to go out and indeed tell a bunch of young men living their dream that they're all and shit at video games. You know, so you take what you get with it. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's just a stream of consciousness of insults of things that are just unlikable to people.
All I remember is Moses being like, what number monster is that? A rock star? When you're walking in, is that his first one or his fifth?
You just look around the table to see how many empty cans are out. Like, oh, bloody hell. I'm after nip out, actually. I'll be back for the game later, boys.
Well, you know who's been really good about not dipping out? You guys who have been tuning in for all of these shows. You're awesome. So be sure to hit subscribe, like, and leave a comment below. If you like these kinds of openings, you know, be sure to let us know. Leave a little bit of comment. Leave a little bit of love or hate. We're open to both.
Yeah, if you're Elish, just say shit.
just to say exactly what's on your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Say what's on your mind, Elish. All right. Well, let's actually hear what's on you guys' minds. We got Group C. That already, I mean, a pretty big development with movie star writers topping the group. I don't think anybody had that in the books. So already a terrific performance from them in the group. And I guess we can go ahead and just, like, you know, get some thoughts on that real quick. We'll start at the top and work our way down. Start with the cream on top. Movie star writers, 5-0 through the groups. Richard, what did you think about their performance?
Yeah, I mean, this has definitely been the best sort of set of results that they've had since they moved to an all-Spanish lineup. And I think, you know, while we kind of earmarked, you know, these types of teams to get an upset in a round-robin format, that just seems to be the nature of the beast. You're going to get one or two because everyone's got to play everyone. And sometimes you play teams when the stakes aren't quite as high for you. And, you know, there's a lot of flaws to the format as is. But certainly topping the group and winning all of their games, I think, was beyond even, you know, the most passionate fan of the team beyond their expectations, because obviously that means you've got to beat, you know, the likes of Gambit, you've got to beat Liquid, these things, and Big. Obviously these things shouldn't realistically be achievable for a team of their size, stature and international experience. So I'm not going to get carried away. I think I've seen a lot of people who are, you know, kind of like proclaiming that, oh, that, you know, wow, that they're on the map now. And no, there's none of that. I mean, you know, once they topped the group, I don't think anyone had any real kind of expectations that they were going to go too much further beyond that. And obviously, you know, they did lose to Ents, and that was kind of the end of the run. But just overall, in terms of how they performed, yeah, I mean, you know, they gave a very good account of themselves. It's just important that you don't really get carried away, because, you know, in the manner that they lost to Ents, I know they took a map, but they got blew out on two maps. I mean, really badly. Yeah. And, you know, while Ents had a kind of, like, incredible performance here, it's not like... I know. I'll save my thoughts on Ents to when we get to the Ents segment. But I mean, look, at the end of the day, I thought that Sun Pius did really, really well. He had kind of a standout tournament and definitely a player to pay attention to. So yeah, something to talk about. But beyond that, it's not really an incredible accolade, and it's probably not something they're likely to repeat in the future.
Yeah, the thing with the Movistar Riders team is they're just like a canny upset team. You can't expect more than that. Like, I actually think it's incredible that they 5-0'd that group. Like,
True,
it's not the hardest group in the world. Like, some of those teams are on a bit of a down. Like, even Gambit's got the whole extenuating circumstances, which does seem to be draining a bit of their performance, or maybe focus might be the way you would phrase it. But even so, just to get those wins when you're a team like they are, that's insane that you'd win all those series in a row. As Richard says, like, it wasn't reasonable to expect anything beyond that. Like, actually, to get Ents, believe it or not, as your quarterfinal opponent, I know now people are going to think, oh my God, it's like, no, that if you actually are going to do anything in the tournament, that's one of the better teams you could get. Like, that's another team that's inexperienced, you know, bunch of skilled players, but they haven't been a team for, I mean, they've had the core for a while, but they're not like some legendary team. So to me, the problem was, like, that was actually your chance if you wanted to do something big. Like, there's a world where you can maybe sneak through that game. You're in the semis then. By the way, that's enough. Like, if you finish top four, that's like beyond the pale of anyone's expectations. So I think they're a solid little team. I think if you watch them, they did it. Obviously, they actually did a fairly shrewd move with the Vanisher to swap out Smuya and the Sampaius guy. It seems like it hasn't affected them. Still seem about equally as good. The problem I have with their team is, like, I don't think they've got enough raw, like, roster quality in the team. And also, like, I don't really know. One thing I'm a bit surprised by is I don't really know for teams like this how you actually fully get hooked into the circuit, because surely you get to play in Pro League like this. Obviously, if you can make it through the insane gauntlet of the RMRs, you can make it in the majors. But, like, at the end of the day, you aren't, like, the fucking partnered teams. Like, you're always, unfortunately, you're always ice skating uphill when you're these teams. You have to go through those insane qualifiers. So the other thing is, I don't expect you'll see them in loads of the tournaments. Like, it feels like they'll qualify every now and then, but then otherwise they won't. So they'll probably, in my opinion, just stay as this sort of a team, which is fine. If you know the level they're at, they're actually shooting above their weight, I think.
Is this a Copenhagen Flames sort of situation?
A bit like that, yeah. Somewhat similar.
Somewhat similar. So we kind of look at this, take a big grain of salt, and just say, right, let's see how this plays out. But we don't really expect stars aligned in this tournament for them, and now we can see if they're going to be able to carry forward with that kind of performance.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we going to read too much into how players performed then in that case? Gambit, really? It's Gambit. It's the Gambit roster. Are we going to read into how they performed dropping a map to Movie Star Riders? Is that just a fluke that we kind of wave off?
I think the problem you've got at the moment is there's a lot of extenuating circumstances around just the entirety of Pro League. You know, even if we didn't have the current geopolitical climate that we do, I mean, the format itself is one that it does lend itself towards upsets, as we've talked about many, many times. It's very hard to come through a group unscathed in this tournament historically. And not only that, you know, as we've seen, you can end up with an unbelievably stacked bracket on one side, where to make it to the final is like a run to win a major, and then the opponent you're playing against has a relatively easy run, a cakewalk. So I mean, look, I for the situation players, as they would call for this tournament, Gambit by any other name, I honestly do think they are in a position now where they have to be massively distracted. You know, you have to understand they're a very inexperienced team. They had the whole end of last year trying to get that experience. They didn't handle the attention and the media work particularly well. We all remember them saying, you know, famously, Nafani, we don't get nervous at big tournaments when there's a crowd, despite having never played in front of a crowd because of the COVID protocols. So, and then they went to the major. They had that.
Obviously, when he said that, Axile was just nervously looking at him. We're like, Pepe sweat on or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously, they got humiliated by Na'Vi at the major. As I've said repeatedly, for reasons I'll never understand, they never went over with the CIS and the Russian fans.
It's weird, isn't it?
They never went over globally. Yeah. Na'Vi is the number one team in that region. And now, obviously, the vitriol that comes their way has only been exacerbated because of this situation. And then on top of that, there doesn't seem to be a great channel of communication coming between the org's future, the team's future. Because as I've said privately behind the scenes, what I've heard is, that actually Gambit might look to lay off. You know, they might look to down tools until the sanctions stop.
Wasn't it already announced that, like, their coach Groove would leave with them as well, potentially? So it sounds like the team's just gone, right?
Yeah. So it's potential that Gambit isn't even a home for them in the future. Where they would go in the current climate, I don't know. But then you just had this situation come up for the major where they did an interview and they went, good news, everybody. We're going to be allowed to be called Gambit. At the major, making an absolute mockery, by the way, of all the other sanctions. Keep in mind, Blast have outright banned Russian competitors.
Yeah, ESL have said.
ESL have said you've got to play under a name. So and then initially they announced it, but now obviously it's been changed. They'll have to come up with another name to play under at the major, and you have to wonder how that miscommunication even occurred.
I just named my team ESL number one. Pro League Intel Circuit, like, no, whatever.
You know, so, personally, I just think they're in a really...
I, or the one instead of an I.
Exactly, you get creative.
Yeah, they're in a really weird spot, and it can't be, look, we know when you've got these distractions, you can go in an interview and say, oh, none of this is affecting us. It does, of course. It
of
does.
Course.
So I mean, listen, where they're gonna be as we progress through the year, both like in a very literal sense, but also just in terms of the world ranking. You know, they're down to third. They don't feel like the third best team in the world right now. For me, I might be inclined to put G2 ahead of them. Certainly, FaZe. Certainly, Na'Vi. Maybe there's one or two others that are gonna gain ground. We're gonna wait and see if Device comes back to nip. If Vitality get their shit together. I think, unfortunately, the window for Gambit to be a true number one team in the world and have an era like they suggested they might in the online era, I think that window's closed now. And with the unfortunate situation in Ukraine and everything else, it's not going to get opened in time for them to ever realize their potential. So, yeah, I think I think they essentially performed to expectations for me.
By the way, I've even realized, obviously no one would do this because like that whole situation is so fraught with like tensions and you're not supposed, it's not supposed to be a fun scenario. But like the joke aside is like, what would they even do, Semler? Like, how could they stop you actually making your team just Gambit, but instead of the vowels, you put numbers, late speak style? That's not actually text. Like, how could you ban me from putting G4MB1T? How can I not put that as my name? Like, you should be able to do that logically. The old school internet's actually come to the rescue there. Late speak will actually save us all. Turns out we all should have been just using elite speak the whole time. No, the problem Gambit have in general is, like Richard said, they had problems before this situation. Yeah. It's not like they were in a great spot. They already, unfortunately, were the team that, like, either best case scenario, you thought they were holding place and they could go get better, or they were losing ground by virtue of everyone else doing all these crazy roster moves and doing gambles like the G2 one, like the Vitality one, that inevitably some of these are going to work. Some of these are going to become the best teams. FaZe Clan already did it with ROPS, obviously. So my problem is, not only have they lost ground in the world standings for me, and as a dangerous team, because they never really got over that hurdle of make the final, win the tournament against all the best teams, etc. But you look at them recently, now is actually more disturbing to me that they have these whack early eliminations. Because if you ever look how they lose at these tournaments, Katowice here in Pro League, they actually literally all play like they used to online right up until the match they get eliminated. Like they all post these like nuts numbers. Like Shiro will be like top rated player in the tournament, Axel frags out, Hobbits right there. It's everything, all the distributions, how you used to see it online when they were the best. But when they get to the big match, they just become like literally like 60% as good. They just become a playable team. You can just beat them. And in the tournament here, where they actually eventually obviously lost to FaZe Clan and Carrigan, it was a fucking rerun of that Cologne tournament last year. It's just a guy who's a genius IGL, one of the best ever on LAN, just picking apart a bunch of rookies who still haven't gotten like sort of, they haven't got acclimatized to that, what the game is when you're on a big LAN. I mean, I know this wasn't a stadium event, but even so, you can see how just the LAN element affects these players. So unfortunately, I'm with Richard. Like, even if I thought they could still get like 6 months with this exact five lineup, play the major, do all that, they just don't look like they're going to be number one. Like, the problem at the moment, I feel like, is you could have like a player could get better. That could help. But I don't feel as though the core problems of the team, whatever they are at this point in time, are going to fix themselves.
You think it's a bit of a hard read, though, because if you're just looking at the statistics or in terms of like how the teams performed, how the players are performing, you know, they're like the second highest rated team in the tournament, despite the fact that they went out in the first round against FaZe Clan. Do you think
that's a problem for me itself, though? No, I think FaZe is one of the harder opponents for them. Like, for example, if they'd have gotten the heroic side of the bracket, yeah, I think they could have gone much further. Maybe they could be in the semis or even in the final, right? But my problem is just beyond that. Like, as a squad, they've had the same lineup for ages now, like over one, like a year and a half or something. Right. Like, you don't just keep the same line. You know, very few teams do a Virtus Pro and just have the same team for like 4 years and still get like value out of it, you know? So one of my problems is like, how much longer is it going to take? And now you've even played a load of the lands, mate. Now you played what, like 6-7 lands or something together? People forget they played an extra LAN after the major. They went to that little like Czech LAN or whatever it was, like the V4 Future Festival type things, one of those type tournaments, and won that. So they've had their chances on the lands. And I'll spin it the other way, Semler. If you actually ever go back and look at who they were when they made the team, they took the Gambit youngsters team, they took out the Spectre guy or whatever he was called, they put in Hobbit, right? It was at the end of 2020, right? That team, if you even crack top 10 with a bunch of complete youngsters and rookies, you've done an amazing job. So to me, it's fine that they're like the third best team in the world in the rankings right now. It's fine if they end up as the sixth best team. If we go back to the old days of LAN, it's very rare a team ever went to like top three from nowhere. You don't just come from tier three to top of tier one. Like, I actually think it's not unreasonable, the expectations. True, you look at the potential and go, why can't they realise it? But that's like asking, why can't we do like nuclear fucking cold fishing or some shit? It's a great idea, but no one's done it, right?
We aren't quite there. It's the intangibles. It's always coming down to the intangibles.
I realize I have made it sound like essentially getting them not to choke on land is like trying to create cold fishing. Like, it's maybe not that hard. You know, there might have been a bit of hyperbole in that, you know.
if they haven't caught on yet, Duncan, that they need to cut you some slack every now and again on that.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Come on. It's keeping us on our toes, you know what I mean? The other team that was on their toes, at least, managed to dance their way through this group, Team Liquid. They had to play quick, and they had to play quick to get it done. 3-2 in the end, third seed coming out of the group, going straight into the NIP lads. But what did we make of Liquid's performance here? What did we make of Liquid's performance in this group?
Yeah, I thought, again, overall, it, like I said, Liquid to me were kind of, they might have exceeded my expectations a little bit. Because honestly, I think NA is just really, really bad right now. You know, it kind of made me laugh a little bit to see the interview with the Complexity guys, where they were like, well, we go 50-50 in scrims with Liquid, and we think we're the best team in NA. Like, well, if that is true, which turns out it isn't, that is a very damning indictment for the state of North American Counter-Strike. But
okay, hold on real quick. Yeah. Just to hold this thought, because that's not the, I mean, we've been hearing that kind of talk for years out of North America, players saying, oh, but in scrims, we're winning.
Yeah, I know.
When is that mentality ever going to change? Or is it ever going to change at this rate? Because, I mean, look, it's been almost a decade scrims.
The rot at the heart of North America, North American esports in general, is that they, when winning comes easy, they like to talk a very good game about it. Generally, how it works is this. They get to an esport early, they plant their flag, they get a lot of attention, they've got a huge audience to draw from, huge marketing budget, huge resources, and they get all their own way. And then when winning comes difficult and you've got to work a bit harder, and you know, other regions who might have a different kind of hunger because this represents a big economic incentive to them, in particular, they have a different level of motivation and a different hunger, and then eventually they eclipse the Americans, and then it just descends into infighting, harvesting Twitter likes, and
legal shit,
media attention, yeah, and they just constantly recycle all their old washed up mates instead of bringing through new talent. And occasionally, when talent finally does get a chance, generally a bit too late. Now, fortunately, over in Valorant, our friends in Valorant, they've sorted that out so far. But listen, if history could just as easily repeat itself over there with this generation that's coming through, now that they've realized being a washed-up Counter-Strike player is not going to be enough to get you onto a top team. And unfortunately, what we're seeing for me is it's like I predicted end of 2020, you're seeing basically the last swirl. This is like the charge of the Light Brigade. The players in Complexity were the players that should have more experience by now, but we're never given it. And as a result, it's a bunch of, it's like the blind leading the blind. There's no real leadership or experience over there because they've not been allowed to get it. You know, if you look at the players on that roster, it's like, well, you know, like who's the guy that's going to like impart all of the wisdom? What, it's JT? Jesus. So that's a problem. Then obviously EG is just a fucking clown fiesta. You know, literally on the day we're recording this, they've just lost to Pain in the American RMR. And you know, they're going to have to get their heads out their ass and realize that just because you've been allowed to pick the team that you want, you're then under massive pressure to make it work. So
being a Team Liquid fan is just a constant experience of pain.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, fortunately, what's propped up Liquid is Nitro hasn't been absolutely awful on his return. And as we all knew, OC was ready for Tier 1 Counter-Strike and had been for a while. I mean, the reality is he was the best player probably on Liquid. You can maybe make an argument for NAF this tournament, but I thought OC had a number of performances where he really popped off, really showed that he is a tier one caliber player. And actually, it's kind of shocks that you would have question marks about. But honestly, I think when you consider that the core, you know, like NAF, Elige, Nitro, when you consider where they were in 2019 and what they were capable of, it's still a massive fall down for where Liquid are right now. And the title, best in NA, it's fucking meaningless. It's not even worth talking about anymore because you're going up against two other staggeringly bad teams.
Best in NA doesn't even mean top eight in the world right now.
No.
So, like, what's the point in even arguing? It's, like, stupid. Like, all you're saying is I'm, like, best of the just above tier two teams. Who gives a fuck at that point, man? Come on. That's not even bragging rights.
Yeah.
My problem with this whole Liquid experiment in general is, like, if you ever look at them as a team, like, my theory goes like this. Because the rest of the scene made all the big moves and the upgrades, I think they attempted to do an upgrade, but it didn't really work, and they ended up with a similar type of team, but in an even more competitive space. And so if you look at the results they have, you typically expect they will lose to most of the top 5 to 8 teams. They do. Then they'll win against 15 to 25 teams, they do. And then they'll occasionally, like they do here, they'll steal a win off a Heroic, or they'll play a game again. And by the way, Heroic bizarrely was always the core that had a hard time against them and took them in super close games anyway with the pass lineup. I don't know what if there's some sort of stylistic matchup there. But basically, they're good for like the odd upset. But the idea that you're Team Liquid with fucking Elise and Naf and these players that you've got and you're going for upsets, like, there aren't supposed to be upsets, boys. You're supposed to just be a top five team. And we're supposed to be talking now about what, how hard was your path to the semi-finals? You didn't make the semi-finals. Like, that's the problem with me of this team is, like, I think Liquid is, they're just a much of nothing, dude. Like, if you look, if you just look, took all the nameplates off, they're all right. Yeah, they're okay. But the problem is when you put the nameplates on, it's just underwhelming. You just think you could make so much more out of not only maybe even some of these players, but then you look at those other NA teams. That's the dumbest part of all about the sort of, like, this new rivalry they've made, is if these idiots understood that if they worked together, that is how NA would rise. Like, instead of having these three teams, it should always have just been the two best teams out of this talent. And you look at the roles and who they've picked. Like Richard says, they just picked their fucking mates. They've just done stupid moves that don't make sense. Like, they haven't got... Like, here's the joke, right? When I criticise top European players, it's stuff like, oh, maybe Nico was too hasty cutting Carrigan after they came second in a major. Like, in NA, the joke is they go to bat and they're, like, willing to die on the hill to keep their mate who's washed on a team. Like, what is that mentality? Like, I might hate on, like, Nico. Well, fuck it. At least he wants to win. He might be misguided. Maybe I don't agree with his direction. But he wants to win. He's trying to get rid of the people he thinks can't win. In NA, my vibe is like, I've always said it like this. They want to win, but only on their terms. And the problem is the world doesn't come on your terms. If you want to do something like... Because here's the problem I have in competition is... Competition, for real, is just about being number one at the end of the tournament. It's not about, like, life. The great thing about life is I could do my whole job and I might have my own philosophy of how I do it. And you can disagree. You can say I'm not the best, right? But if I think, oh, I was working on my skills, I leveled up, that could be good. In competition, let's be real, like, there's no like, oh, I came ninth, but in a way, wasn't I sort of really the one playing the real Counter-Strike? And didn't it? No, there's none of that. It's like, you come first or you didn't, mate. Like, there's no fucking philosophy. There's no arguments about why you were better. So my problem is I don't think these teams want to win. And when I look at Team Liquid, this is one thing I hate about this squad. Go look at all the interviews with this team. They are either lying and doing their best to make it seem awesome, or these guys are happy just being losers. I'm not joking. Go look at the interviews. They're all happy as fuck, Rich. They're all loving life. They're all saying positive things. They're all talking about how nicely it's got. You know, this is mental, mate. Like, if I'm them, this is panic stations already, these first results. Like, this team isn't going anywhere. And right now, let's be clear, this is the window. These 3 or 4 months were the window when all the rosters were getting fixed, right? If you aren't good now, how are you going to be good in 2 months when people like Vitality come online, when maybe the Vice players for NIP? When like the joke is Team Liquid, the only thing that can boost them in the rankings is all these fucking Russian teams getting cut off at the knees. That's about it. I don't think they can go up. I think this team has a very little future, personally.
Yeah, and look, just on that point as well, it's like, yeah, I'm a bit perplexed by... I saw Nitro did like an interview and he was saying that, oh, the problem with NA has always been the gatekeeping. And, and I'm like, is this, literally, and it's like, what, the gatekeeping you actively did when you were an IGL in a top tier team and nobody got any opportunities, even when it was bad, the fact that you held on, because again, people just romanticize the past. He was dog shit at the end of Team Liquid. Absolute dog shit at the end of his time in Team Liquid. His stats were appalling. His stats were appalling when he went to Valorant. And, you know, and then obviously as well, gatekeeping, like, what, we bring a washed up Valorant guy back because Elise wants you on the team. It's like the lack of self-awareness. So, yeah, I've been a bit perplexed by their media.
By the way, notice that, Richard. Well, that's twice they've done that. So they brought Adren back from sitting doing nothing. He never went and coached another team and worked and showed, like, you know, I've got skills. Just sat on the bench until Elise sort of called him in. You can come in again, Eric. And then now they do the same thing when Nitro. Like, they basically just go, right, we need a guy. Can Nitro come back? He's not even playing CSGO.
This gatekeeping's outrageous.
I know, they have the gatekeeping, though. It's really keeping the scene.
But I'll just say, look, it tells you everything you need to know about the state of NA. It's why I've got nothing but respect for Twist. He knew, like, he could have just kept his safe paycheck. He could have been the superstar of Team Liquid, could have stayed there. Because let's be real, like, we all know Elise is a fantastic player, but he's not necessarily the most, like, flamboyant. Like, is always going to be a fan favorite.
For sure.
He could have stayed there and took an easy paycheck, but he didn't. He didn't like the way that it was working. He didn't think he was going to win. He packed up and he ended up at FaZe. And, you know, they went through a bit of a tough time until they brought Rops in.
He even said in the interview I did with him, which I was very impressed with. Yeah, I assumed, like everyone, the main reason he came to Europe because he has a girlfriend in Germany. He even sort of went out of his way in the interview to say that isn't the only reason, though. Like, actually, yeah, he would have come anyway, basically. You're right. He actually is the one who turned out to be a winner.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, that's all you need to know right now about the state of NA. That if you're a talented player and you're just going to sit on one of these rosters and recycle, you're not about winning at that point. You don't even deserve to win. I mean, when you consider a player as good as Naf was seriously considering joining fucking Evil Geniuses, and he could have been on that roster now, like losing like this, because I don't think he would move the dial of overall performance. You know, it's shock. The lack of ambition from NA in Counter-Strike is absolutely shocking. You know, so what you're
briefly here, you know, because we're all about winning on this channel as well.
Exactly.
I just go ahead and remind everybody.
That's what we do, yeah.
You know, Evil Geniuses are ahead of us right now in subscriber count. 118K. Get out of here. We're not going to let that stand, lads. Give us a sub. If you're watching this right now, leave a comment, leave a like, hit that subscribe button. Let us know you're there, and let's beat Evil Geniuses too. Because, you know, that's what you do. You kick them while they're down.
Well, everyone else does, so why should we be any different? You know what I mean?
Boot to the face.
Evil Geniuses is like that famous copy pasta people always do. You know, the one where it's like, you know, my dad beats me, my mum would say, I wish fucking Evil Geniuses were my dad. They can't beat anyone. Like, you know that fucking famous copy pasta footballers? I mean, it's a pretty good one. It's up there for sure.
They went 0-5 in their group. I mean, we might as well segue into the next group.
So here's an angle for you, Sebler. I'll just use a narrative tool to frame how ridiculous Team Liquid's squad is. Ence was just in the final of this LAN tournament. Look at the roster Ence has. Did you know any of these players 1.5 years? You didn't. Some of you probably didn't know them before the major when they qualified, obviously. Like, this is ridiculous. Look at the construction of the roster of Liquid. Look at the construction of the roster of Ence. Like, there's no universe where this Ence one should be ahead of the Liquid one. But the problem is Liquid dogs scuffed the fucking way they've recruited. And as we're trying to point out, they're not doing it just on ability. There's clearly political reasons, fucking nepotism maybe involved. There's all sorts of fuckery going on.
Listen. You mentioning Ents. Is this the workings of a brilliant Finnish mind? Friends with both of you, well, all three of us. Natu. How involved is the Finnish legend in building this roster? Or is he involved at all? Or is he just getting to enjoy?
As far as I know, I think actually for Ents specifically, I talk a little bit with Snappy. I think they actually did allow Snappy and the coach Saw to have the say in who they recruited. Yeah. As far as I know, they're the ones who actually picked all these players out. Because obviously, by the way, as a tangent, if you look at Ents, that is just an example of amazing GMing. That is people going out there, looking at players, and these have to be players, remember, that nobody else wants. Because if any big org wants them, you don't get them. You have to look, and you essentially have to go out there and for real gore, that guy over there, what's like a guy with like good aim from Israel, he could be one of the best players in the world. Sign him to our squad. And they did, and mate, that is a fucking, if people knew the budget they were working with, that is an insane GM job.
Without a doubt.
Even keeping Snappy, like a lot of people after that contacting were just written him off. They've gone, there's no point. Again, have you noticed, by the way, fans, as soon as LANs have come back, being an in-game leader with some sort of history seems to have incredible value, doesn't it? Whereas being someone who just fly by night, did a few online runs, doesn't really seem to add up to much, does it? Like, I don't think people realise the role of IGL isn't like star play. It's not like about the form and the fucking stats. It's about like the raw experience and can they lead their team? Like, in my opinion, if you've had years and years of leading, like people like Snappy, like MSL, there's another great one. Like, I don't care if this guy's hot for the 6 months now. Like, it endures when you have the experience these guys do. You see it in the team.
Without a doubt. I mean, okay, let's go ahead and actually talk with them briefly. I do want to get into the playoff bracket because there were some awesome matches there. We do need to talk just a little bit about Group D, I suppose, because we gave attention to the other three groups. So we should talk. And well, one of the teams that has come under fire is not being able to pull weight and not being able to get the job done. It was Heroic, right? And how they managed to only pull off a 4-1 here in the groups. They fell to Na'Vi. Fair enough. Nobody's going to complain about that. But then they didn't really get off to a flying start at all in the playoff bracket. So, like, what are we thinking about Heroic in the group and in the playoffs? We'll do a combination play here.
It's my problem. I want to go first on this one. Okay. I feel like I've gone back in a time machine emotionally 9 months because I'm like, you fans, fuck Heroic. I'm out on this fucking team, mate. If people don't know this, right, here's a very interesting distinction in how I analyse the game. You might know that in a lot of games, I'm actually very infamous for riding way too long with teams that always come second place. Team Liquid, the old fucking Astralis. Right now in League of Legends, Rogue fucking wrecks me every single split. I always say they're going to win, and then they fucking come like second or third, right? So you might think, I love to hold out hope forever. No, here's the difference, right? You'll notice I have a very clear distinction. You have to actually, for real, be that close to making it. Because here's the reason I do it, boys. When you do make it like Astralis and you win everything, that's why it's the fucking call. Because you saw that potential, it really was there. I'll tell you what, it isn't there in Heroic. I gave them all this chance. I gave them that whole period from the major through the end of last year. They played all the lands. I gave them these first few ones. Again, remember, they're not a team that made roster moves. This was their window. This was where they're supposed to make their hay while the sun is out. They didn't make a single final. They won zero tournaments. Even the tournament Na'Vi didn't attend. And now they're not even going deep anymore, boys. Now they're making the playoffs and just shitting the bed instantly against anyone who can make them lose. Keyword, that, I've very carefully phrased that. They're not going to lose to, like, if they played Movistar Riders, they would win, right? The difference is, though, if you are a team with, like, Liquid doesn't even have the team, but they have the players that can beat them. If you just have the players, they can lose to anyone. It is so clearly inside Heroic's head to me. I don't think it's anything the opponent is doing. I think they just absolutely collapse when they get to the big game. And the worst part about it is this, similar. They're not just doing it when they're facing, like, a team better than them. I believe, genuinely, when they know it's the big game. So the reason why this tournament was the key for me is because that bracket, the hardest game they were going to have in the whole bracket was Team Liquid, the first one, and they blew it immediately. If they won that, they were in the final and they're playing against FaZe Clan. This whole narrative's churned around and finally they've done it. But I'm just out on them now, boys. Like, they are that team that with no pressure can beat anyone, and then when pressure's on, won't ever beat the big team. So I'm out. Like, I've given them their fair chance. They are still a canny team to watch. I like the style, I like some of the players, but there's some fundamental flaws in this team I don't think they're going to fix, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Heroic, for me, it's the problem, as I see it, has been, we know for a fact that really, in terms of star player and firepower potential, it's got to be about Staun. It's got to be about him. He's the guy that has to step up. And when he does, it looks like, you know, everything else seems to click and the team looks like, yeah, you know, this is a top five team in the world, unquestionably. Then, in games where he gets neutralized, like what happened here when they went out to Liquid, of all things, you know, like he on Vertigo especially, like he had a really, really rough time. Nothing was going right for him. They just can't beat teams that they are realistically earmarked to win. Let's be clear. Everything we've just said about NA and how bad it is and how low the standard is, and they've lost 2-0 to Team Liquid. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable by any standard. And like Duncan says, Heroic is a team. Like, this is as good as it's going to get, right? It really is. Because, like, I don't think Na'Vi, I think they're going to have a little bit of a drop-off. I think we're not going to get an era. I think the only team capable of that era now, probably, with all the extenuating circumstances, is FaZe, maybe G2. But again, they've got issues as well. But you have to think, as I said, NIP with the signing of Brolan, they're going to get their shit together. Vitality are going to get their shit together. You get the occasional sign of life from Astralis. Are Ents on the world stage now? This tournament suggests that maybe, you know, they could be. They've got that potential.
There's so many good teams now, mate. Yeah. So many.
So where are Heroic in this mix?
Yes.
Well, it turns out this is the dip. They're on a downtrend.
Agreed.
And you know, unfortunately, sometimes rosters just plateau. I've got to say as well, recently I've been a little bit disappointed with Refresh. I think having Staun and Refresh as a duo was absolutely essential if Heroic wanted to get to finals and potentially, you know, win tournaments. But basically, I just think they might have had their peak at that Pro League season that they triumphed in. And, you know, they had issues at the major. And, yeah, they're almost like an also-ran now. It's a roster that should be better than it is. And it isn't. And there's quite, and honestly, as well, I've got to have some question marks around Cadian.
Awesome.
You know, can you thrive without a top tier AWPer right now? He might be great at motivating the troops. He might be great with tactics. He might have three calls every game where he can win you a round because he pulls something brilliant out of the playbook. All well and good, but he doesn't hit his shots consistently enough for me. And put it this way, all these other teams that we're talking about, when you consider, you know, G2 have got a Munnerzy.
They've got Banner Off as the best.
Fizz have got Brokey. You know, Simple on Na'Vi. The sad reality is, I think, in Shiro on Gambit, and, you know, we're down on Gambit as well. Unfortunately, I could, and obviously Device to come back to NIP. I can, all of these teams we're talking about have a top tier AWPer, and unfortunately, Cadian is not a top tier AWPer in international terms. And so there's a bottleneck right away for the team. Your IGL isn't as a good enough player. He's kind of in that fallen zone.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, I've got something I wanted to get your take on, actually.
Yeah.
Which is, someone made a point, just a throwaway point on another show, but they didn't explore it. So I wanted to ask you what you think, actually. Because I hadn't thought from this angle. And when I think from it, I think it's pretty damning, actually. Right? One of the areas that we're all big in Cadian up in, it's like, I agree, actually, by the way. In the game, actually, he makes some pretty good calls, I think. The problem I do think as an AWPer, really he good. Clearly has like a ceiling. And the problem is, every time he hits that ceiling, you just see, like, he can't be as good as the elite AWPers Richard's naming off, right? So that's a problem. But I think another factor, actually, is like, the group dynamic, because here's something someone pointed out, right? You know, when they're in all these scenarios, because let's be real, right? They're not only hated because of the Hunden stuff and the cheating stuff from years ago. They're also hated because of Cadian's approach, right? Because Cadian is trying to do a Conor McGregor. He is trying to do it where you like antagonize other fans. You talk shit to Astralis, by the way, your fucking main country's team that everyone loves. You do this whole approach, right? Now, here's the problem. That's brilliant for Cadian and Cadian's brand. That's entirely what he's done his whole career and what he's trying to be. But I actually have this vibe, dude. Someone made this point. I don't think the others in the team like that, mate. I don't think they like that pressure and that attention. Like, you see, the others don't do that trash talking. The others are like way more sort of the quiet good boys. Like, I think he might low key be putting too much pressure on the team.
Let me tell you a secret that I wasn't going to say on this. I was going to save it for by the numbers.
We've already blown the gold, okay?
No, it's fine. We'll do by the numbers level material. But so obviously, you know, he had that he had that back and forth with Glaive after the Astralis game. Yeah. Well, according to my little birds at ESL, that spilled over backstage.
Okay. As in just saying things to each other?
No, as in someone jumped across a sofa and squared up to somebody else and people had to get between them. So
I wonder who that would have been.
So I'm gonna tell you straight up. And obviously, like, when this comes out, they'll probably both deny it and say Richard's a liar. All I'm gonna say is my motherfucking record speaks for itself.
Why are Danish CSGO players, by the way, they all look like literally the definition of a lanky fucking nerd that would break instantly and never drank any milk in his whole life. They're all like these fucking weird creatures.
He needs some milk.
They're like somehow out of fucking, like, you know, the time machine from H.G. Wells or something in the future. These guys are on some Crips and Blood shit of like, I'm a stand a match it, homie. Come on then. You want to fuck me? I can't do this. I'll rip my set. I'll rip my colours. Went all day, motherfucker. That's what I can't handle it. I can't do this.
So, but listen, all I'm saying is...
so stupid.
I know, it really is. The fact that we've got Biggie and Tupac in fucking... In Danish country.
Milk toast fucking beef of all time, isn't it?
I know. It's so stupid. But anyway, right? Let's just hope it doesn't. Let's hope there's Nicola Nyholm shook Knight in the equation. He's going to take a hit
he's
out.
He's looking the window.
He's going to take a hit out.
Motherfucker, then you stay on the RMR roster. You hear me? Or I might drop you in another way.
So anyway, so putting all that to one side, right?
Bubsky's like, he's serious, you know? Shit, man.
I know, yeah. But that's why Bubsky's not releasing records no more. Straight to the desk. Exactly. Straight to the desk. He can't put it out. He's off death row. See ya. Anyway, so look, all jokes aside, I think for real, like, I think there's going to be a bit of a crucible here because obviously those players...
turn against him, mutiny.
I think there's definitely a feeling that the emotional attention that it brings is now becoming more of a hindrance than a help.
I would agree. Yeah.
That the fact is, if you're going into a game and you're making it a grudge match for you, but it's not a grudge match for the other four players.
Yeah, true.
And you're telling them, like, oh, we got to win because of my pride and my ego and all it. No. I'm not along for that. You riding alone on that one, homie. Like, we're on a team together, you know? So for me, For me, I think, unfortunately, I think we might get to a little bit of a crucible where those players, yeah, they all carry in a lot. Yeah, sure. It's clear he is a leader. You know, it's clear that they do look up to him. But that's something that changes if you keep continually putting them in these bad positions. And Stown, to be fair, after the Liquid game, he looked really inconsolable. Like, I don't know if you saw it. He looked like, I mean, borderline in tears, which, by the way, we know Heroic love a good cry. So, you know, borderline in tears just for losing a game in Pro League. I think there's something rotten at the emotional core of this team, and I think it's going to get sorted sooner rather than later. A shakeup could be around the corner.
Okay. Are we seeing shades of Cloud9 here? I mean, that's the team that comes to mind where we've saw this sort of approach backfire in the sense where, you know, Henry G was really big.
Oh, right, the Henry one, right. Okay.
Really putting it all together, and it feels like that kind of pressure was throwing the team off. That's the team that comes to mind when you're describing this situation here with Heroic. Yeah. But we've seen how teams like that go in the past. It eventually blows up on them, and eventually the things just keep going south. It's really hard.
Similar. I think one of the things that has done my head in the most the last few years in esports is where every single person who's an influencer and any team and player tries to copy the G2 esports approach of banter on Twitter. You can't pull that off. It's like when, but I mean, you'll know this analogy. I'll use it for this group in particular. Remember when I first blew up as an analyst in 2015 and was doing all the events, and all of a sudden a load of other analysts who were just a guy who was an ex-pro or, you know, like a community figure who watched the demos, they all started trying to do their own edgy banter. They all started trying to do that, and the problem was, like, listen mate, I'm barely getting away with it. I'm walking the fucking line. Like, you're not gonna get away with doing a worse version of what I'm doing while not understanding how I'm operating. So what they don't understand is, like, the way Carlos banters is totally different to Cadian. Here's the mistake Cadian makes. He thinks you just do the Conor McGregor part. No, Carlos's genius is this. He even uses banter to insulate his players from criticism. Yep. As in, he'll criticize himself. Like, he'll make a joke about how he is shit. He even makes a joke about how they lose all the CSGO finals 0-3. He does that, by the way, so that you don't have all this insane pressure on in the back of your head, etc. The problem Cadian has is he's doing part of it. He's doing the trash talk part. But he actually hasn't figured out, like, it's like that. There's a mastery to what G2 does in the way that they do it. Like, somehow they're able to, like, use it to weather the storm when it's bad, be a pressure release valve when you need it, but then also when you win, then use it as a way to maximize the brand. It's that there's so much finesse to what they're doing, but it looks so simple that that's why every idiot who has a social media account and works for an org's just like, lol, we should, like, they think being like a fucking 4chan level pleb and just saying some like insult is the banter. There isn't, there's a mastery to how they do that. And unfortunately, I think people like Cadian are an example of where you could, I can see what you're going for, but I think you're executing it in a way that's actually fucking you more.
In things like this, like, whoever wins this game, it has bragging rights for like forever. Let me tell you when that works. It works when you're the experienced one going up against a nervous young team that hasn't won anything. That's you dickhead. That's you. You've laid the table to raise the stakes against your own team. Glaive's got nothing to prove. He's the GOAT fucking IGL. How are you going to mind fuck him by saying all the marbles?
That still makes no sense as well, dude. Imagine he'd won the game, Semler, and then Glaive goes, well, of course, I've won 4 majors at Grand Slam, exactly. Millions of dollars. And then Cadian goes, yeah. What about that lower bracket?
What about that best of three? Yeah.
Like, it's what about so that shit. It's an angle. Yeah. No,
so listen, that's the problem. Keep in mind as well, as we've famously told with all our anecdotes about the Fuck Cadian Club, he's not particularly well-liked in Denmark, and it's a very incestuous scene, and they're going to be talking to each other. And listen, I've seen these mutinies happen to better IGLs than Cadian.
Oh, for sure.
Carrigan will tell you. Carrigan will buy you a drink and tell you what it's like.
Oh, Lord, Carrigan, Lexi B, you can go down the fucking list, mate. It's Dinosaur, MSL, they all get it. Yeah, they all get it.
So, you know, I think, unfortunately, as I said, I think when you're, like, trash talk can be a very potent tool if you know how to wield it. Setting yourself up as a lightning rod for your team can be a very potent tool if you know how to wield it. Unfortunately, this Heroic team now seems to just carry so much psychological baggage with Hunden, with the cheating allegations, with the fact that people believe the players were complicit. I mean, imagine your refresh, you weren't even on the fucking team. It's and you're catching strays, being called a fucking cheater. This is not healthy for young players that want to thrive and want to win, where every game carries with it, like, mockery and derision if you lose, cheating allegations if you win, and your IGL's going, right, well, don't worry, right, put on these blue bandanas, lads. No reason. You're making everything turf war over fuck all. So, yeah, it's I don't know. I think Heroic consistently set themselves up. They consistently set themselves up to fail, like no other team I've seen.
And also, if you take the analogy further, you are essentially also being like, and by the way, we're the Crips and we live in blood territory. Like, you know, this is the dumbest thing of all time.
We're going to be different. It's like the other Crips.
You have to understand, Semler, in Cadian's mind, he was going to win that game at Blast and it would be like the end of fucking Rocky IV and the whole crowd would stop being a Stars fans and turn towards him. And then he'd give that speech, wouldn't he? And going, if I could win, then you can win and we can all be Danish together. And then like Nicola and I would stand up and give a salute, like, and then he'd just fucking, I don't know, they don't carry him out on their arms and suddenly Denmark will be a free country again.
Cadian.
Exactly. In reality, by the way, if you'd have won, A, Glaive would still have had infinite bragging rights over you, and then B, the whole crowd would have booed you and told you, go fuck off, you can't. Oh, I've done it, timestamp. Put the timestamp in. Someone delete that word. Whatever. It's going to happen eventually. Whatever.
You can't help yourself.
I did so well. I was like an hour before that. Whatever.
No, see, you don't even know when you're doing it. You did one at the start.
Oh, I didn't know.
You did one about 5 minutes in.
Oh, all right, I forgot that.
It was so good.
By the way, I won't say the word again, but that was one of the most surreal moments of my life. Is Semler, I once did have the vice president of Turner Broadcasting call me up and just say, please, can you just do me a favor? And I was like, what the hell's this guy calling about? And he goes, can you just not use? And then he said that word, right? And I was like, wait, I guess. I even remember even thinking, this is so surreal. Why is this the pivot point where I have to choose not to use this word? That was just a funny word I learned when I was about 4 or something in the playground. By the way, that's probably a bit dark revelation about my life then. I'd say that when I was 4, but whatever. Nothing I could do about it, is there? Too late now.
The programming. All right, well, let's start actually just getting into the playoff brackets here. Because we haven't even done that on the time now.
Whatever.
We've touched on Ents a little bit. We have. But let's go ahead and actually, I mean, I feel like we can spend a good bit of time talking about FaZe Clan here because they really did have to actually, you know, hit some shots to get through. They take out players first round. They go on to take out Na'Vi. You know, it's a crazy run already right
Every
there.
Every team and they played on their run was a top 10 ranked team.
Pardon me, hit me.
Every team they played to win the tournament in the bracket was a top 10 ranked team in the tournament in they the world did it on national TV.
They did it on hard mode. I mean, and what's really satisfying is that we were all building this narrative coming out of the end of last year, going into this year, where this is FaZe's time. You know, Kerrigan has to get it done now. He has all of the tools. FaZe have made the plays. They've got the stars. Mm-hmm. They've got the firepower. Everything needs to align, and they have to do it within 3 to 6 months. They have to win something big. And not only do they, it's back-to-back big. Like, that's unreal. FaZe now could be on the upswing going into the perfect timing to hit the majors, just like what you were talking about at the beginning of the show. So, I mean, what do we make of this team right now? Is this it? Is this their time to shine?
And they're definitely the number one team in the world. That's where we're at. I know you're going to say it's a bit soon to say that.
Unfortunately,
I feel that circumstances beyond Na'Vi's control are going to have a profound impact on the team. I've also got to say, the pressure the Russian players on that roster are under at the moment about having
about having to
like leave and change nationality and move their families. That is a unbelievable distraction that like very few professional players will ever have to go through. And unfortunately, it's going to take the shine off that Na'Vi roster. We're not going to get the era that they deserved. We're not going to get the era that we as fans deserved. And Simple's not going to get the era that he deserved as a competitor. And it's sad that we exist in that reality because of, you know, extenuating circumstances. But that said, you know, you can only capitalize when things aren't going too well for your opponents. And right now, I feel G2 aren't quite there yet. We've talked about Gambit and where they're at. Na'Vi, as I said, You know, they're still very good. They're still number two for me. But I think FaZe have peaked at the right time. And not all of the takes we have, you know, age particularly well. But if you go and look, I think you can even find videos on this channel where I've been talked when they got ROPs. And back when I used to do the hot takes. And I think I said, I feel that FaZe can be the number one team in the world. They're certainly a dark horse pick to achieve that. And here we are, you know, in April, and they've done it. The roster was too good not to. And what's crucial about it is it's a team that it's got great. Everyone's like a master at the role that they perform. They've got a fantastically deep map pool. In fact, if you went and saw what Carrigan was saying with that Vertigo flex pick they put in, you know, Carrigan's obviously in a good spot because he likes to do these things by committee. He likes to go to his players. Do you want to play this map? And famously in the past, if you know your history, we're like, you know, the TSM roster and that sort of thing, he would say, I think we should pick this map. And the players would say, I'm not playing that. And that was one of the frictions that led to him being ousted, that they didn't have the confidence. Everyone in FaZe is on the Carrigan train right now. And they are just... I don't see a team that has the strength and depth they do as a squad. I know after Katowice, people were saying drop Rain. All right. Well, can we put that JKS narrative to bed now, by the way? Can we just put that to bed? That JKS somehow should be playing on a team like FaZe. Never in a million fucking years. He is the most overrated rifler I think I've ever heard people bleat about, you absolute fucking morons. And the idea that he's fit to eat. Like, by the way, if you're a FaZe fan and you want Rain off the roster, you don't love FaZe at all, because he is Mr. FaZe. He's the guy that's been there through every iteration of the roster since the team joined. He's played like over 1,000 maps for you or something insane. So, you know, for to see him have a good performance as well shows what they're capable of. And yeah, I just to peak going into the major, I think they've got a good chance of winning it.
Yes. First of all, I totally agree. Like, this is where one of the things I find really boring about discussions in Counter-Strike is when I feel like the other person doesn't actually have a set of principles. And so they're just churning out takes, but with like, seem almost like they're randomizing the variables or like what the input is. So for example, if people say FaZe isn't the number one team in the world, then what the fuck metric are you using to determine the number one team in the world over all the past years? Because guess what? It's the last few months. That's what makes you number one. It doesn't matter that Na'Vi's won everything until the end last year. It's April. Like, that's ages ago now. Like, the only two major LANs we've had, I know major, I'm using it just in like the sense of describing the LAN, obviously not a major. The only two major LANs, FaZe has won both of them, and they have done it beating all the best teams that came their way. They've beaten, I looked it up, obviously they are in the top 10, so there are only 9 other top 10 teams. As of right now, the top 10 currently ranked, they have beaten like 6 of the other 9 teams in best of 3 or best of 5, and the only one I think they'd played but lost was actually the VP squad, which bizarrely they lost to in the group stage year. They just hadn't played the other squad, which I think was like Astralis and Nip or something. They haven't played them yet. And by the way, you think they wouldn't beat Astralis and Nip? Like, let's be real. Right now, FaZe Clan can beat every single team, maybe with the exception of VP. I don't know. We'd have to see. But every single team, they have incredible amount of consistency in the roster. I actually think, like as Richard says, to me, it's more that everyone fits their roles, that they have maximum trust in Carrigan. Because I've already seen you can't win if you're Carrigan. Right? Carrigan is in that class of players like Device, like all of our favourite players, basically, where you only win, as in with the public, when you win the tournament. And even then, by the way, they'll try and take as much as they can back from you. They'll try and go, here's the trophy, but I'm going to take 3/4 of it back. Because I've already seen people trying to build a narrative that shows they are never going to give Carrigan his flowers. People are already saying, well, of course he's winning. He has 3 top 20 HLTV players.
Yeah, right? We're doing that again. That,
by the way, when you say that he has 3 top, that's correct, by the way. 3 of his players were in the top 20 of HLTV. Now, if I told you they were ranked 18, 19, and 20, do you see how you went out of your way with that framing to make them sound way better than they are? Because when you say 3 top 20, you're thinking of all the great teams that were number one, like Fnatic and Astralis and Na'Vi. But here's the difference. They usually had a top 3 player of HLTV as their star player. The second star would be a top 5 to top 10 player. And usually the third one was even in the top 15, because that's how it works when you win everything. Like, That is actually so fucked, because to me, it's the other way around, you idiots. This guy can take what, by your own logic, are the worst star players in the top 20, just have three of them and do what's impossible in Counter-Strike. Use them as a committee to win tournaments. He essentially figured out, I don't need fucking simple. Give me three players who aren't simple and I can make them add up to a simple. You can't do that if you're an in-game leader. I've never seen another in-game leader who can do that, by the way. Glaive can't do that. He had Device. He had the greatest players ever. Fucking Pronax didn't do it. He had Olofmeister and Flusher. This is like, by the way, if Pronax had gone out there and picked up like a young player, and then a guy like Moddy, who was just okay most of his career, and then he had one player, maybe in this case we give him like good Freiburg, and then he makes that team number one, and then you go, well, look at the bloody players you've got. It's like, no, look at the players, you imbecile. Look what they had, look what they were before this guy. Does no one else notice? Riddle me this, fans. Why was Rops fucking 18th in the top 20, but then the second he puts a jersey on and sits next to Carrigan, he is going to be ranked top 10, if not top 5, this year? People at the end of the year, here's my prediction, people at the end of the year will try and make it that Rops is the new Nico, therefore that's why Carrigan doesn't get his credit if they win the major, if they have an area, if they're number one. So the good news is, if you Carrigan is, that's actually a good problem to have. I'd rather have that, where they're just trying to take away from my greatness, than where you're the one where, like, I mean, people like Snappy, the better example, like, you have some elements about you that are good, because you don't have it, you're not even in the conversation. So there is that. But then I look at their squad, mate, it's like, this just is the time for everyone in this roster. I think the whole team is in a Rain needs to win one on the way out to cement his legacy, and in face kind of all teams, especially because of the Boston major. Carrigan needs one anyway, because then he, by the way, this is the other thing people don't get, Richard, they still think like a major is a major is a major. Mate, if you win a major with players from every different country, that's more than a major, mate. I don't give a fuck. Like, you win, if you have five Swedes and you win a major, that isn't the same. Like, we can have debates all day long, but to me, that's a different type of accomplishment. So as soon as Carrigan wins that major, all the conversations are on. We can have all sorts of interesting angles.
I'll add as well, what's most impressive about this is the fact that they almost did go out in the groups, and it was like, it's sort of true. A fantastic course correct. Yeah. You know, credit to Vitality, because again, terrible format. Where a team can be incentivized to not play their best. That's always a flaw. But Vitality did, and in winning that game, essentially enabled FaZe to go and have this run. But if you remember, obviously at the start, FaZe lost their first two games, and people were like, lol, no JKS, no win, all of the memes were out. Now, fair enough. Those two losses were to Ents, who made it all the way to the final, and Carrigan got to correct that result. And then obviously VP, and VP are a mad tough team, and also I feel stylistically they break apart what FaZe does so well whenever they seem to play each other. And then like I say, you know, they managed to go on a tear, but just by the time they got to the playoffs, you beat Gambit, you beat Na'Vi, you beat a resurgent Furia who are looking really good with Safe, and then you beat Ents, who had this like breakout, and then obviously in Katowice had to use not one but two stand-ins in different roles, completely sort of call new strats, new tactics, new things on the fly. You win that, so you've won the two big tournaments that we've had in this year, and people are still down on Carrigan. It's like it's staggering. And also a point you made on Twitter the other day, he's fucking, you know, he's 32. And he's still doing this.
Apparently, I was wrong on that, but it's like, it's like 14th of April, so it's basically 32. Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean,
absurd, isn't it? I know, to be number one in the world.
That you know, and people still don't want to even consider this guy one of the greatest IGLs. Find me another IGL who consistently built up teams, built up rosters, took them to winning trophies. Find me another IGL who's won more trophies with using stand-ins at tournaments. Spoiler, it doesn't exist. It is Carrigan. And then basically the only thing he doesn't have is the major. If he gets the major this year, suddenly we can put him next to a Glaive and have a conversation. Now, I'd still give it to Glaive just by the sheer volume of majors won.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Carrigan will be very seriously in the conversation. He should be in the conversation now, you know, when we're talking about like top three, top five anyway. He wins a major, then it's him and Glaive sit on an island by themselves and we can have this back and forth about who should get it and why and who, you know, and whose achievements have more significance. But yeah, just to wrap up the FaZe talk, for me, Rop's clearly the missing piece of the jigsaw. I was mad critical of FaZe when they went through that online era when Carrigan was going, it'll be different when we get back to LAN. We'll start winning things again. You know, and I said it was a disgrace how lackadaisical that team was. But fair enough. Like, I'm very much back on the Carrigan train, very much back on the FaZe train, because it turns out they were right. When the LANs came back, the team came back. So, great to see.
That's where I actually get to pat myself on the back, because I was one of the only guys. I was definitely on that train where I was like, listen, guys, it's online. Wait until we get back to LAN. FaZe is going to take over, or at least they're going to be incredibly competitive with the history that they have.
It's another string of Carrigan's bow, Semler. You know, like, amazing. He's one of those guys who, like, when he gets you to a LAN, he knows how to look after players. He knows how to attend to their needs. He knows what people are particular, who needs to sit next to each other, who needs to do this, that. He's always there with his playbook, like a physical, actual playbook out in between, you know, but also can have a, he's not one of those guys who sits in a hotel room sweating all night, staring at demos. He's not like a Godby kind of character. He also will have fun. He's like, he's the guy you want to go to a LAN with if you're a player, for real.
Yep. Oh, by the way, a point Richard made earlier that I think is mega key is there's been two times now, very famously, when his teammates disagreed with him on a map that they should play and it ended up fucking them. So basically, in TSM in 2015, it was Train. They were way better at this map than the other players thought, but they just didn't feel comfy on it. And then if people don't know, the Boston Major, the drama behind that is Carrigan actually wanted to pick Cash against fucking... Cloud9, because that was actually a map they'd shown like a little bit of weakness on, but his teammates thought like, oh, no, we should pick like Overpass or some shit like that. It's like they had a disagreement basically. Yeah. Well, here's the problem. One of Carrigan's strengths famously is if you give him the whole map pool, he is amazing at making like tricky vetoes, throw you off, waste all your time prepping. You prep this map thinking they're going to pick it. You don't even play the map in the series. Well, right now, not only is are these stories coming out where his team trusts him, but if you look at the map pool, he is doing it. Like they're playing all the maps you would want. Like they can go all over that map pool. That's why he said he was trying to work this vertigo in, because if he has that, he's got all of them basically at that point in time. And again, right now, this is why another factor that lets you be number one, that's an underrated one, is how good your veto is basically. If you have to get certain maps, then only certain opponents are going to allow you to win the tournament. Now you have to pray for bracket luck. At the moment, this is how crazy the situation for FaZe is. People keep picking bloody Mirage against them in best of three series. Madness. And that's been fucking Carrigan's like home map psychologically and like emotionally for like about 5 years now or something. Like that, essentially the joke is that's like, no matter how good or bad Astralis is, imagine just constantly picking Nuke against Glaive. Like the guy invented how Nuke is played. Like he can never be totally bad. Like all you do when you pick that is, I know you have to do it sometimes, you're just giving him a free shot to win your map pick. And so when everything's aligning for FaZe right now, everything really is. And by the way, I'm one of these fair people. If Carrigan goes to the major and they don't win it and they even blow it, yeah, then he has to take his lumps. All I say for the players I like is just give him a chance. I don't want it to be rigged, by the way, where they have everything. No, I prefer it like this. So it's like, just give me a real crack at it, and then we'll see if I'm the best.
Yep.
This is very good. I mean, okay, we are really running tight. So now I just want to talk about Ents essentially going into this. Like, can we build more on this Ents narrative going forward? Or is this going to be, just to reiterate, where I think we left off was, a Copenhagen Flames kind of scenario where, this was Movie Star Riders. But like, whether or not Ents can repeat this kind of performance, I think that's still the thread. Or is this going to be a flash in the pan? They made it to the finals. Everything lined up, stars aligned, and we can't expect the same from them in the future.
There's a key difference here, and that is that in Sphinx and Hades, they have genuinely, like, I always thought Hades, by the way, was one of those players that, because he's from Poland and the VP guys clung on too tight, and then, you know, there was a sort of generation with the Mihus and actually the Dikas that he's playing with now, that sort of, they were then the ones that were earmarked, and Hades kind of got lost a bit in the shuffle, lost a bit in the noise. I always thought he was the guy that was ready to be like the next breakout Polish star, but unfortunately by the time he was ready to seize that mantle. There just wasn't really a Polish team anymore. Spinks, me and Duncan had this conversation recently on By the Numbers, where we were saying we got asked who was best, Flames or Spinks, and I think we went with Spinks, right? Yes. And I mean, again, absolutely proved it here. Like, what a fantastic tournament this kid had, and what a find by Entz. And then when Madden joined, I wasn't particularly big on the move. I remember laughing about it, sort of with Duncan, saying, I don't think this is going to add anything to the roster. He's just a player. He's just a generic player. Actually, turns out they did really fucking well since he joined, and he does seem to have something about him. So, look, there's nothing on paper that should excite you about Entz. They've got a really old veteran IGL who never really did too much, certainly not in CSGO, barely in 1.6. They've got players that have been in the mix in the Polish scene for a while, never quite emerged on top. They've got a player who's played in a few like low-key international lineups, and they've got a player who was essentially an FPL breakout, a pug star. Nothing about that should work, but the difference is because of the scouting that went into these players, because they've got complete confidence in their coach, Saw, who should take absolutely tons of credit for working with Snappy and getting this lineup together and helping them, and the fact that Hades and Spinks are genuinely two of the big form players now in that kind of like 6th to 10th in the world. I don't think Ents are like a Movistar Riders or like the Copenhagen Flames. I don't think this is like a flash in the pan per se. The problem will become what starts happening when they have another run like this and all the other teams start saying, well, we've got Ents today, we better prepare. You know, what starts happening when they start coming up with a plan to neutralize Spinks to try and take Hades out the equation? Because teams will start doing that. That's how it always works. When you're that player, that breaks into the top 10, people start preparing for your style in a way that they don't when you're in, like, you know, 20th in the world. It happened to Furia, famously, if you remember, when they were like got to number 5, number 4 in the world, and they had that really exciting play style, and people were like, all right, well, we know what Art's going to do now every round. He's going to be behind us, and we wait for him and we get him. And they had to completely reinvent themselves. So, like I said, it's a nice problem to have if you're Ents, that people are going to start taking you way more seriously. But I need to see if they've got that next level. I need to see if they can change it up and basically cement their position in the top 10. That's going to have a lot of fluctuations in the coming months.
Do we take anything away from their side of the bracket either? I mean, as well, right? Because
The easy side, no doubt.
They go through Fnatic, they go through Movistar Riders, they go through NiP before they get to the finals, right? Is the quality of their opponent leading into the performance as well, or are they capable?
Only beat what's in front, yeah. So I'm never going to be too down on that, right? You know, and it was the work they did in the group that got them on that side.
Yes, exactly.
So you know, at the end of the day. They earned that easier side of the bracket, if you like, with everything else that went on. Sure, they didn't really play anyone major. The NiP result is legit. Keep in mind, I mean, like, we didn't even really talk about this, and I know that we're out of time now, but NIP, this, talk about missed opportunities. That, you know, like, Ents beating NIP, when NIP, again, with the fucking media work, and they're going, well, now that we've got Brolan and the best team in Sweden, best player in Sweden, we are now the best team in Sweden. And you're talking about, you've got this guaranteed run to the final, and then you lose to Ents. Massively disappointing. And I'm also getting a little bit sick of this kind of, like, narrative that's completely unfair for the players who do have to play, that Device is coming back. And when he does, that's the real lineup, and you only judge us on that. Like, as if the person that's keeping Device's seat warm isn't even a fully fledged fucking professional player. I don't like the way they've handled it. But anyway, that is a legit result.
A lot like that team.
Yeah. What Ents did to NIP, to beat that NIP on Ancient, is a legitimate result with or without Device. So at the end of the day, I thought Ents gave a decent account of themselves in the final as well. They didn't go to bed easily against FaZe. Like I said, there's lots to like about Ents, and if they can do it again at the next tournament, they're very much in the conversation.
Yeah, I actually think it's a mad underrated team. Like, if you even look at it, the reason you know it's an amazing scouting job is these aren't people who just came up in FPL and then someone just spotted them yesterday. Like, wow, they could be good. Like, go look at the ages. They're all over 21. Like, I think, like, and some of them are like 23 and 24. Like, as Richard says, these aren't spring pops, the fucking Polish players. They've been around the same for ages. The point is, nobody had the eye to know to put them in this team with this leader and get the results that they've gotten. So to me, I think it's everything. They've got a good coach. They've got a good IGL. They've empowered them to make the right scouting. They've picked up a nice bevy of talents. Because they're even older, they haven't even got the problem of, like, everyone's 18 and they've never played a LAN. Like, yeah, they're still getting their shit together on LAN. They're clearly inexperienced in that sense, but they seem like, actually, of all the teams that come up like that, they haven't totally folded on LAN. They just didn't win the matches. Like, they just lost when they were in the final. That's fine. So I actually think the potential is mega for this team. Like, if they actually get some decent placings, which is what tends to necessitate this, I think Spinks will be a top 20 player on that HLTV list at the end of the year. It just seems obvious to me. He's just that good. Then you look at the overall talent. Like, they're another team with a trio of star players. Like, the firepower is better than you expect. So if you look at the moment, they're currently ranked 10th by HLTV. I think that's about right. I think this is a team where there's a lot of bigger orgs and a lot more money below them in the rankings, but they can maintain this spot. Like, this is I would expect them to be like battling for top 10 this year. Like, I think Snappy's good enough. Sounds like the coaching stuff setup's pretty good. I don't think, like, at the moment, like, again, people have to get ready to be a top team on LAN. They have to be able to win semi-finals and stuff. I think there's still more development to be taken. I'm not going to go crazy and say they go higher than that, but they'll be competing for top 10, which I think is way punching above your number. Like I say, remember people like OG, Mousesports, Fnatic, Team Liquid, EG. These are all below you in the standings, but I think they can beat out a lot of these squads and make them look silly.
It's also worth considering that they have good support from the org itself. You know, they have the whole setup over in Helsinki with the boot camp in their organization. Like, they actually have good support as well. So it's not like they're even just playing from home straight up. Like, Ents have really stepped up as an org in recent years, and that's cool to see as well. Considering the history there with that team and how they've kind of just, they are a grassroots esports organization. So good to see them getting some laurels as well here from these players. Is there, before we close the show, is there anything that we missed that you guys want to jump on, or is there another unnamed podcast that you're going to be talking about it on?
Yeah, I think we'll pick up all the points on BTN if there's any stragglers. So tune in for that, guys, whenever we get around to recording it. But, you know, just overall, I thought it was a good pro league. I think FaZe good value for number one team in the world right now. Had a really good standard of games and takes us into the RMRs with a lot of compelling storylines ahead for the major. Not least of all, who's going to be working it?
Won't be me. Thorin?
Won't be me.
Won't be any of us, mate.
How are you doing, Thorin, on the Pro League? Was this a successful campaign?
What do you mean? Like the tournament itself?
And the whole thing together. Overall, are we pleased with Pro League?
I mean, the problem I have is this. I actually think if FaZe hadn't won it, this would actually be remembered as a very scoffed tournament. Like, imagine if, like, Furia had gone to the final, won this tournament. All everyone would remember was, like, wait a minute, Fury beat Ents in the final, and then what the fuck, where are all the other teams, like, and then you'd look back at the group stage and be like, ah, what the fuck is this? So to me, they got lucky that the best storyline they had in the tournament got delivered upon and was the final note of the tournament. Like, that sort of saved it for me. Otherwise, I actually think ESL needs to rethink this as one of their flagship products.
It is going to be that time. It got them through these past couple of years, but I'm going to be very curious to see going forward what Pro League is going to look like, what ESL is going to look like. Thank you, as always. It's been a terrific pleasure hearing what you guys have had to say. Always good for some laughs. Oh, it feels good. And if you've made it this far, guys, be sure to leave a comment. Be sure to like. Be sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't yet, because we're going to keep making these Pop Flash. We're going to keep making these Pop Flash podcasts talking about the big tournaments in Counter-Strike. So if you're a fan, be sure to
hit the checks keep turning up. Yep, you're right.
Hey. There you go, Rich. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.